Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Nehemiah 13, verse number 23 says this, "In those days also I saw, or on those days also saw I, Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them." Matter of fact, three times you'll find Nehemiah contending in this chapter. He said, "And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God." Now, I just want to say this. See, I'm not going to do that tonight, okay? I'm not going to smote you and curse you and make you and pluck out your hair tonight, okay? But that's what he says. He said, "I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair and made them swear by God, saying, Ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations were there no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all of Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives?" Now, Father, I pray that you help me tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us recall the things we've studied, Lord. Now, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Father, as we look into your word for a little while and talk to our young people about the subject of marriage tonight, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd lead us and guide us, Father. Bridle our tongue. Help us to say nothing, Lord, that you wouldn't want us to say, and only the words, God, that you'd have us to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Again, I want to look into this for a little while and talk to you about marriage. I read this illustration the other day and I found it quite comical, and I want to give it to you tonight. It said that there was a young man and a young lady that was fixing to get married. It said both of them had a problem that they had never shared with nobody their entire life. But right before they got married, the young man decided to go to his dad and share the problem he had with his dad. And the young lady decided to go to her mom and share the problem she had with her mom and see if they could get some advice on it. So the young man went to his dad and he said, "Hey, I've got this major problem and I need you to give me some leadership and guidance on it." The dad said, "All right, what is it?" He said, "My feet stink awful bad." He said, "I'm fixing to get married and I don't want my wife to smell my feet." So the dad said, "Well, do this. No matter where you're at or anything, when you go to bed at night," he said, when you're around the house, "always make sure you keep socks on your feet and your wife will never smell your feet." He said, "All right, Dad, that's what I'll do." Well, the young lady went to her mom and she said, "I've got this awful problem." And she said, "I don't know what to do about it and I'm about to get married and I need some leadership and guidance on it." She said, "Okay, what is it, honey?" She said, "My breath is horrible." She said, "It, when I wake up in the morning, my breath is horrible." And she said, "Well, I tell you what to do. As soon as you wake up every morning, before you say a word, you go straight to the bathroom, you use mouthwash and brush your teeth, and then go back and tell your husband good morning." She said, "All right, Mom, that's what I'll do." So for about 6 or 7 months, man, their marriage was going great. He kept his socks on. She kept her mouth closed in the mornings when she woke up, and everything was just fine. About 6 or 7 months into the marriage, he woke up one morning and was very disturbed to find out that one of his socks had came off during the night. So before his wife woke up, he frantically went to searching the bed trying to find that sock that had come off his foot. All of a sudden, because of all the commotion, she woke up and it startled her and she said, "What in the world are you doing? Before she could go to the bathroom, use her mouthwash and brush her teeth. He said, oh, no, honey, we've got a bad problem. He said, my sock come off, and evidently you found it and swallowed it during the night. I thought that was pretty good. That'd be a bad situation. Marriage tonight. Let's think about it. A lot of people take marriage as not a serious commitment and covenant that you make to the Lord. In our society today, marriage is just something that people go into half-heartedly, and they go into it with a plan B and a plan C and a plan D. If this doesn't work, well, I'll revert to plan B or plan C. But I want to say something to you young people. When you go into marriage, you have to enter into marriage with no plan B. When Leslie and I got married, we didn't go into marriage with a plan B, but we went into marriage for better or for worse till death do us part. Now, there's been a few times that I think she's thought about killing me. That way she'd get out of it, because it would be until death do us part. But we went into it that way. And I want to say something to you tonight. I know that there's numerous people sitting in this room today that has been through divorce. And I am not against you in any way, shape, or form. You know that. And you know that about. I'm not. However, I do not believe that that is God's plan for a marriage. I believe that we can mess up, marry the wrong person, and the devil leads down a road to divorce. But God's plan for marriage is that you don't go into a plan B, that you go into it for better or for worse, till death do us part. I think one of the reasons that the home has become a thing that is not taken seriously anymore is because God has been taken out of the home. God has been taken out of dating. God has been taken out of marriage. And a lot of young people today, they marry out of lust instead of love, and they never seek the face of God about their spouse. They never pray about it. I prayed whenever Leslie and I met and began dating. I prayed and asked God to give me a verse to confirm in my heart that that's who God wanted me to marry. And you know what God did? God gave me a verse to confirm in my heart that that was who God wanted me to marry. Matter of fact, that verse was, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above the rubies. And actually, right when God gave me that verse, I went and bought her a ring that had rubies in it and give it to her. Then later we became engaged, and of course we got married, and that's been over 20 years ago. We don't have a perfect marriage by no means, but by the grace of God, we are where we're at today, and we're still together. Marriage is something that is so important. Marriage is something that the devil is trying his best to destroy today. Because if he can destroy the marriage, if he can destroy the family, if he can destroy the home, then he can destroy the church. Listen to what the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 19, verse number 6. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Marriage is not to be entered into not seriously and not taken seriously. It's a serious thing. And in saying that, dating is a serious thing. You say, well, what's your opinion about dating? Well, I don't see nothing wrong with dating if it's done in the right manner. I don't think no young person at 13 years old has any business dating. Matter of fact, up till 18 years old, Madeline was not even allowed to go out unless she was on a double date or had somebody with her. And at 18, I told her, I said, we've instilled things in you, and there comes a day where our kids have to start making some decisions on their own. You know what? If she does something wrong, that's between her and God. She'll give an account to God for that one day. But I want to say this to you tonight. Dating tonight is serious. And I want to talk to you about dating and marriage and intertwine the two together. And there's two requirements that you as a young person ought to look at when it comes to dating. And I'm going to say this, before we ever even get to marriage, there's two requirements that you ought to have before you're, let me make it three requirements. Number one, it needs to be somebody of the opposite sex. If you're a young man, you should date a young lady. If you're a young lady, you should date a young man. Now, I need a bunch of amens on what I just said. The first requirement, it needs to be somebody of the opposite sex. And you say, well, preacher, I was just born to like the same sex. No, you wasn't just born to do that. A dog has more sense than that. An animal has more sense than that. That was not the way you was born. You chose to go after the lust of your flesh. That's what leads to that. So number one, it needs to be that. Number two, a requirement for dating is this: salvation. 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 You said, preacher, what do you mean? Is he or she saved? Are they saved? Well, preacher, I don't know if they're saved or not. Well, then I think I'd be finding out. Are they saved? Not just a lip service, but is there a true, genuine testimony of their salvation? Is that person saved? You say, preacher, I'll get into this in just a minute. I'm going to win them to the Lord. You know what happens 99.99999% of the time? You don't win them to the Lord. They pull you out of church and take you in a different direction. Are they saved? They ought to be evidence of a relationship with God. And never let someone tell you what you want to hear. Some know the Christian lingo. Never decide with your heart alone. It can be deceived. Never go on your emotions. They can frustrate common sense. Go on, do they have a biblical testimony of being saved? Was there a time that they realized they was lost and on the road to hell? Amen. Was there a time that they realized they was lost and on the road to hell? Was there a time that they made an altar somewhere at some place and prayed and asked God to forgive them of their sins and to come into their heart and save them? And are they exemplifying marks of salvation at this time in their life? Are they saved? Number one, you should always date somebody of the opposite sex. Number two, they ought to be saved. Number three, can I say this? If you're going to date that person, they not only need to be saved, they need to be involved in service in their church. They need to... Man, it's so quiet. I'm glad my mom and daddy's here tonight because that's about the only one saying amen. They need to be involved in Christian service. If they won't go to church now, why do you think that they'll go to church when you get married and when you have children? If they won't serve God now, you ought to watch them. When they're singing, you ought to see if they sing. You say, well, preacher, they're too cool to sing. Well, you need to ditch them and find somebody else. How do they serve the Lord? Well, preacher, I just don't know. You know, that's just old school. Well, that's all right. That's all right. Do you want somebody that's going to half-heartedly go to church? And hey, look, if that's all you're interested in, you may need to go back to point number two and check your own salvation. If you don't have a desire in your heart to serve God and to live for Him, then you may need to go back to number two and see if you're even saved yourself. You need to make sure that young man or that young lady is in the service of God. The test of a true disciple is their obedience to God. Service should be consistent. Service should be done with joy. Service should be done out of a desire to serve God. Out of a desire to serve God. Is that young man or is that young lady serving God? And can I just say this? If they don't meet them first three, you just need to ditch them and move on to somebody else. You just need to move on to somebody else. You know what? If they get in the choir and they sing like this, well, I'm on the inside, yes, I'm on the inside. Do you really think that they have a relationship with the Lord? You say, well, preacher, it's not all about a relationship with the Lord. Well, what is it about then? What is it about? If you don't put God first in your home, and if you don't put God first in your dating, if you don't put Him first in your dating, you're not going to put Him first in your home. You're not going to put Him first in your marriage. And you're going to become a statistic like so many today, and you're going to end up getting married and getting out of church and coming nowhere around the church house. Man, you need to have some requirements for dating them. Some requirements for dating them. I want to say this to you. Young men, if that young lady dresses like the world and shows her nakedness, you ought to get away from her. You ought to get away from her. If it's not for sale, cover it up. Amen. If that young man don't dress like a young man, I'm going to tell you, it blows my mind what some boys, not young men, what some boys wear today. I mean, God help. Daisy Dukes on boys today. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? I'm just being honest with you tonight. Hey, if that young man, and there's so much more than that, if that young man won't hold down a job, if he won't work, if he's a little sissy, if he prances around for the sake of your parents' sanity, get rid of him. Get rid of him. Well, I don't want to get no dirt underneath my fingernails. I'm going to tell you what happened to people like that. When we grew up, Brother Matt, we made a trip out behind the woodshed, and they got more than dirt underneath their fingernails. You need a young man, young ladies. Hey, look, if they won't work now, they're not going to work and take care of you one day. So let's look at marriage tonight. Let's think about this tonight. Number one, Christians should marry only Christians. Look what he said right here in this chapter. Boy, there's a lot in this chapter. This chapter is really deep. There's a lot of things said right here. Matter of fact, me and Brother David Williams talked a long time yesterday about these verses right here. You got to be careful not to take those Old Testament principles and bring them in a grace dispensation. But there's a lot of applications that can be made out of this scripture right here. Look what he said in verse number 24 or verse number 23. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons or for yourselves. You know what he was saying? Here's what he was saying. Be not unequally yoked together. That's what he was saying. A born-again Christian should always marry a born-again Christian. And can I take it a step further? I've already said it in the beginning. A born-again Christian should date a born-again Christian. You have no business dating somebody that's not saved, and you sure don't have any business marrying somebody that's not saved. Well, the Lord told me to. No, He didn't. God will never lead against this book right here. Amen. God will never lead against this book. And the Bible said, be ye not unequally yoked together. You cannot convince me that God told you to date somebody that's not saved or to marry somebody that's not saved if you're saved. You'll never convince me of it. I can convince you otherwise based on the authority of God. Let me back up and rephrase that. I can prove God's word to you otherwise. Whether I convince you of it really don't matter. But God's word, never marry. Christians should always marry only Christians. Never lower the principle that God has established. Never lower that. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. She said it's honorable in all. It's honorable. Marriage is an honorable thing. So marriage in the realm of Christianity. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Again, we can apply this to dating also. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. The Bible said this in verse number 1. I'm going to read when I get there. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Now look at this. Now concerning the things whereof we wrote unto you, it is good for man not to touch a woman. A Christian, I'm not just talking about a saved person, I'm talking about a Christian. I'm talking about a person that's in God's will trying to live their life pleasing to God. A Christian will never go against the principles of God's word. Amen. You know what the principles of God's word is this: it's good for man not to touch a woman. It's good. That word touch right there, when you study it out, it means this. It means to fasten on oneself to another, to adhere to cling to. He said that you have no business fastening on to somebody else and adhering to them and clinging to them. Are you hearing me tonight? Matter of fact, when you study it out, and I'm not going to go into all the definition of it, you go home, look it up in an 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and also look it up, that word, in Blue Letter Bible. It is dealing with a sexual desire that you're getting from touching that individual. And you know what he said? I'm talking about Christians should only marry Christians. Here's the reason why. This is important right now in your dating, because if he can't keep your hands off of you right now, there's probably coming a day that you're not going to satisfy him, and he's going to end up putting his hand somewhere else. It's good that you don't touch each other. It's good that you don't touch him. It's good. You know the reason the Bible said? Because he designed marriage for that. Here's the reason why. I'm really going to deal with this more off of a dating perspective for just a minute. Here's the reason why. The reason he created marriage is because inside of you, now parents, if you get upset with me, you can talk to me after church, but inside of you, God put a desire for a sexual relationship. Take them out of the public schools if you don't want me talking about it either. Amen. Inside of you, God put that. And let me tell you the reason he said it's good for you not to touch a man, or for a man not to touch a woman. Here's the reason why. Inside of you is that desire. And God said, I made marriage so that that can be taken care of. Your desires can be fulfilled in the realm of marriage and not outside the realm of marriage. Amen. That's exactly right. That you said, preacher, that's old time preaching. No, that's just Bible preaching today. That's just Bible preaching today. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with holding hands, and there's nothing wrong with kissing. Well, I tell you what if me and Cher just walks to the back holding hands tonight, and we stand back there, hold hands with each other, and shake hands with everybody as they go out, and before we leave, I just give her a kiss and say goodbye. I would say Brother Rodney's going to have a problem with that. I would say Miss Leslie's going to have a problem with that. I would say I'm going to have a problem with that, and Miss Sarah's going to have a problem with that. If nothing is wrong with it, boy, it's quiet up in the church house tonight. The reason you should date a Christian and not a non-Christian is here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. A Christian, a true Christian, I'm not just talking about a saved person. I'm talking about a Christian that loves God and fears God. They are going to want to adhere to the sound doctrine of the Word of God. Well, preacher, we just can't keep our hands off each other. Well, you need to break up. You need to separate. I've said this, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again. I've told my youngins this, and I've told your youngins this, and I'll preach it to the day I die. Carry the Word of God, put it in between you, and anything you do, do it over the Word of God. Well, preacher, they ain't nobody ever going to find out and this and that. You know what? Mom and daddy may never find out. You know what? The preacher may never find out. And it ain't my business. But let me tell you one that will find out. God will find out. And if you're saved, you'll give an account to him one day for it. He said, it's good for man not to touch a woman. He said that he made marriage. The reason you have no business dating a non-Christian is because they're not going to adhere to sound doctrine. They're not going to adhere to sound doctrine. Listen to this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 14. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will raise up us by Christ, by his own power. Know not that your bodies are the members of Christ. So shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that you which is joined to a harlot is one body? The two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit which are God's. You know what he's saying tonight? He's saying this. He's saying you better just date Christians. And even if they are a Christian, you better set some boundaries. And you better say, we're not crossing these boundaries. Hey, I'm preaching good. I'm preaching good. Look what he said. And go back to Nehemiah. Look what he said. Verse number 25. He said, and I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons or for yourselves. And you know what they was doing? They was giving their kids to the world. They was giving their kids to the world. They was giving their kids to the world. And can I say something to us as parents today? God help us not to give our kids to this world. God help us just not to accept any old boy or any old girl coming around our house. God help us not to just give them to the world. That's what he said right there. Number one, Christians should only marry or date Christians. Number two, dating or marrying a non-Christian will pull you away. This is not expository and alliterated. I'm just giving you my heart. Marrying a non-Christian will pull you away from your faith. Dating or marrying a non-Christian will pull you away from your faith. Look what he said in verse number 26 of Nehemiah 13. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations were there no king like him, who was beloved of his God. And God made him king over all of Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. He was chosen by God. God placed him, God anointed him, and put him king over his chosen people. Solomon, are you hearing me tonight? God set him in the place that he was at. Yet what happened to him? Outlandish women, wicked, vile women pulled him away from God. Solomon didn't pull them to God. They pulled him away from God. So why do you think that you're strong enough to pull them to God when Solomon pulled them away from God? When the women pulled Solomon away from God? We have no, I've seen it over, Daddy pastored for 40 years, and I guarantee you he could say this over and over and over again. He has saw it over and over and over again that some young man that loves the Lord's trying to live in fellowship with the Lord, serving God in his local church, or some young lady that was trying to live for the Lord, serving God in her local church, began dating somebody that wasn't in church. And let me tell you what ended up happening to them. That individual ended up getting out of church. Very, Very, very. I bet if we was to sit down and talk, probably between both of us, maybe we could count it on one hand the number of times we've saw somebody bring them into church, them get saved, and change their life. And here's what ends up happening a lot of times. They may get them to church. They may end up even getting saved or making a profession of salvation. But because of the life that they was living prior to that and never having a life truly devoted to God, when the least little thing comes up, they end up getting it back out of church and away from God. I'm telling you, they will. You say, preacher, I'm going to win them to the Lord. I'm going to win them to the Lord. And so many times, it's right the opposite. Listen to what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. You don't have to turn. Listen to this. He said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. To be unequally yoked is to be joined with one unlike you. This is having to do with the spiritual aspect as well as other aspects. Look at this. Look at the contrast. Righteousness with unrighteousness. Light with darkness. Christ with Belial. That's Satan. He that believeth with an infidel. The temple of God with idols. You know what he said? He said, what has the temple of God got to do with idols? You know what he was saying? You would not bring an idol. We're not going to bring Buddha in here and set Buddha up in the house of God. We're not going to do that. What fellowship have we with that? But you know what you do when you bring the unsaved in? You're unequally yoked. It's the same as bringing an idol in, because your body is the temple of a holy God. What ends up happening so many times is they end up pulling them away from God. Let me show you one more thing and I'll be done. A Christian should never date outside of that. Here's the reason why it pulls so many away from their faith. And I want to say this. Dating must have a high standard. It must have a high standard. Let me show you three things about it. It must have a high standard. He said in verse number 28, and one of the sons of Jehoadiah, the son of Elishabab, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore I chased him from me. He said, because of who they was, I got him out of there. He said, I chased him from me. Watch this. Dating must have a high standard. God is first. In dating, God, in marriage, we'll start our marriage retreat tomorrow night, and everybody's going to be shocked because I'm going to deal completely different in this marriage retreat than I ever have. And one of the main things that I'm going to deal with is your relationship with God, because your relationship with your spouse will never be right if your relationship with God's not right. God has to be first. And in your dating, God has to be first. Too many homes today have other gods before God. Going into marriage, it ought to be agreed that God would be first. Going into dating, it ought to be agreed that God will be first. That if anything's going on at the house of God, that you'll be there. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. It ought to be a high priority. Listen to what he said in Mark chapter number 12. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's emotionally. And with all thy soul. That's spiritually. And with all thy mind. That's intellectually. And with all thy strength. That's physically. This is the first commandment. You know what he's saying? That God has to be first. The reason it's first commandment is because God wants to be first in your life, no matter what part anybody else plays. God must be first. Exodus 20 verse number 3 says this, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I asked Madeline this, and now that she's getting older, I've asked her this before about individuals that she's talked to, and I've said this about not only dating but about friendship also. And I said, does that individual draw you closer to God or further away from God? If that individual draws you further away from God, this is good preaching for everybody in this room. You need to depart from them. You can be nice, you can say, hey, but if they draw you away from God, hear me and hear me well, I have separated myself from some preachers because of that very thing. I'll never forget, me and Mark Stroud was going up Eagle's Nest one day, and Brother Mark, we was talking about a preacher. I was asking him, I said, I'm praying about this. You know more about this individual. Tell me what you think about him. I need a true godly opinion of him. And here's what he said. He said, preacher, ask yourself this question. When you're around them away from church, do they bring you closer to God or further away from God? And he said, if they bring you further away from God, you better divorce yourself from them. And you know what I had to do? I had to start divorcing myself from some so-called preachers because their life outside the pulpit was completely different than what it was inside the pulpit. You better put God first in every aspect of your life. Put God first. Put God first. Dating is a high standard. God must be first. Number two, not only God is first, but purity is non-negotiable. Purity is non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable. It's not. Amen. It's still right to be clean and pure when you get married. I use Brother Aaron and Miss Bethany all over this country preaching to young people. The first time they ever kissed was at a marriage altar, was standing right here at the marriage altar. That was the first time. You say, well, preacher, that's old fashioned. Well, the Bible said it's good for man not to touch a woman. Amen. I'm going to get in trouble right here, but that's all right. I told my young, it's the only way I'd ever consider paying for a wedding. Number one, I had to agree on the boy. I had to agree. He had to have my approval on it. You say, well, what if he don't? I'm not paying for it, and I will not attend it. You say, oh, you'll change. Hide and watch, baby. I promise you I won't. I said, number one, I have to approve of them. And number two, it has to be in a church house. Let me tell you the reason. Let me tell you the reason so many's wanting to get away from the church, because there's nothing holy about it anymore. There's nothing honorable about it anymore. There's nothing sacred about it anymore. They want to go somewhere, have a little fling, say a few vows that they're never hardly ever going to keep, and have a big party and get drunk and dance around and act like the world. A praying knee and a dancing foot, Brother Mays Jackson said, don't grow on the same leg. That's exactly right. It is non-negotiable when it comes to purity, young people. Listen to what the Bible said. 2 Timothy 2:22 says this, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What did he say? He said, follow righteousness. What does youthful lust do? It pulls you away from righteousness. It pulls you away from faith. It pulls you away from true love, charity. It pulls you away from peace. Amen. Let me tell you what youthful lust does. It draws you to yourself and fulfilling a desire within yourself. And I don't know of the young people that has talked to me and said, preacher, I've made a major mistake. I'll never get over it. The scars that are in their mind will never go away. Purity is non-negotiable. When you walk down the aisle, here's another requirement for me to pay for a wedding. They wear a white dress. They wear a white dress. It's a sign of purity. That's non-negotiable in dating. That's non-negotiable. Amen. Amen. And I've told my young'uns and I've told the other girls in this church, if a boy ever puts his hand on you, you call me and I promise you I'll round up the posse and we'll come get you. That's exactly right. You say, well, preacher, it's not going to hurt nothing. Yeah, it says the 18-year-old girl that's rocking her baby to sleep tonight. Oh, well, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do this and you know what? You may use protection and everything else, but there's one you'll never hide it from. You'll never hide it from God. Purity is non-negotiable in dating. Let me show you one more thing. Worship together is mandatory. Worshiping together is mandatory. Preacher, what do you mean? Hey, you need to go to the house of God together and worship God together. I'm just of this opinion. I don't believe you're to marry outside of our religious beliefs. If they don't believe a King James Bible, you ain't got no business dating them. If they don't go to a church like us, you're being unequally yoked together. You're being unequal. Well, there's one thing you can say. When your young people, if they do mess up, you can't say you never had a preacher that didn't try to help them. Now, you can get mad at me if you want to, but I refuse to sit back and let the devil drag our young people off into this world and me not try to set up a roadblock. You need to worship together. Hey, look, if they won't go to the altar when God speaks to their heart, just ain't got no business being with them. Well, preacher, I can pray in my pew. Humble yourselves. Is that not what I preached this morning? You know what going to the altar is? It's us humbling ourselves before God. That's what it is. It's what it is. Well, it's serious. Come start playing, Miss Tanya. It's serious. It's serious. And I just refuse to never preach to our young people. I just refuse not to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. I'm commanded by God to do that. I'm commanded by Him, and everything that I said to you tonight, I can back up right there in that book. I can back it up in that book right there. If you got a complaint, you better bring some Bible verses with you. I'm being real with you tonight. I don't preach like this all the time. I'm just being honest tonight. Young people's falling out of church one right after another, right after another, right after another. Me and Brother Heath has talked about generations that we have saw come through this church. Come through it. Where are they at tonight? Where are they at? And I just refuse to sit back and watch it happen again. Purity is non-negotiable. I've said this before. I had a young lady tell us this story. She said that, and I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. She said that she got made fun of at school because she was pure. She was a virgin. She was in high school, and they was making fun of her because of that. Here's what her pastor told her to do. Said the next time they start that, you go back and look at them and say, any day that I want to be like you, I can. Any moment that I want to be like you, I can. But you will never, never, ever be like me again. It's impossible. It will not happen. That's something when you give it away, you never get it back. And God intended for you to give that away on your marriage. On your marriage night, that's when God intended for you to give that away. Not before. God intended for every individual to give that to one individual. Till death do you part. Purity is non-negotiable. Worship is a must. God must be priority in your life. Be ye not unequally yoked together.